The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining me again on Three-Dimensional Wealth, and I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf. And this week, again, I'm going to be continuing on what I call the Legend Series. And the Legend Series is some of the greats in the financial service industry that I've been able to round up. And this week, I'm fortunate to have Tom Wheeler with me. And Tom is the chief executive officer and chairman of MassMutual, which is now, I think, MassMutual Financial Group. We used to know it as MassMutual Life Insurance Company. And Tom has, from the very beginning, been in the insurance industry, I think, since 1962. And I'm going to let Tom share his story with us. But he has been one of the solid people in this industry, and we are just glad to have you, welcome you to Three-Dimensional Wealth, Tom.
Thank you very much, Roy. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, now, I know that you began right out of Yale, I think it was, and you went into the insurance business. I think actually started right with MassMutual. Is that correct?
That's correct. I actually, when I graduated from college, I was in NROTC, so I had a two-year commitment to the Navy, and then I started looking around, and actually I joined IBM Corporation as a sales representative, a sales trainee for their 1401 computer. This was back in 1961. But after 18 months, I decided there was no future in technology, that IBM wasn't going anywhere.
So that was one of your
shows how smart I was. So I looked around and I put down on a piece of paper the characteristics of the career that I felt would be the most satisfying to me. And after a lot of search, I decided it was the life insurance business. So I started with MassMutual as an agent in May of 1962.
And then from there, I mean, I think you were actually an agent for quite some time, I think probably for up until 1983.
That is correct.
Because in 1983, if you remember, you and I were on a program together. I think it was 83 or 82 at the LAMP meeting. And we spoke on the platform together at the LAMP meeting.
I remember that, yep.
Okay.
I was an agent until about 1976, when I became a general agent
Okay. In
that same agency. And then in 83, I moved to the home office. And I ended my career at the home office, retiring in 1999.
And you've never been so busy since, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you about, as you began your career, and maybe some of the things that you found as characteristics that made you, quote, successful. And I think what I say successful, I mean in all dimensions, not just financially, but personally wealthy, financially wealthy, socially wealthy, but maybe some of the characteristics or people in your background that may have helped develop that.
Well, I guess I always have felt that our particular kind of business, the financial services business, is really all about trust. Therefore, if you lack it, your customers will leave you in droves. And therefore, I approached it, and I had a mentor, my general agent, who was an epitome of somebody who preached that philosophy. And I took it to heart, because you are making recommendations, and it's awfully easy to insert some self-interest in those recommendations. But you simply have to rise above it. You have to be customer-oriented, customer-driven. One has to be trustworthy. You have to, particularly this day and age, ethics, integrity. I think that's the first order. And then it seems to me it's helpful if you have a plan, if you have a career plan, and approach the plan in small bites. The career building is not a dash. It is a long-term effort. And continual growth and improvement is really the nature of our career. And it requires a lot of work. It requires a lot of discipline. It requires a passion for what you're doing. And I think if you put all these things together and you don't try to reinvent the wheel, I've seen so many people come into our industry and rather than taking the advice of people who know how to be a success, they go off on their own and invariably they fail. Mm-hmm. So I was never too big to take the advice and counsel of those who were trying to train me. And then all of it, frankly, Roy, you may recall that there were financing plans, and the first objective was at the end of 3 months, and I had not sold one product in 3 months, and I was about ready
But you sold your car?
Yeah, you got it. I almost failed. And finally, I was able to sell a very large policy, and that sort of broke the dam, and then it was very satisfying after that. But point is, you just cannot give up, and you get underpaid for the effort that you're applying in the beginning part of your career, because at the latter part of your career, you will be well compensated for those hours that you weren't compensated when you started.
Well, my dad told me when I started, he said, this will be the worst-paying easy business and the best-paying hard business.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing he told me, he said, and if you do the right thing, you'll never have to worry about money. Now go get them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the first day I started. Yeah. And I think
you can't
back
be driven by the dollar bill. You have to be driven by helping people. That, to me, was the psychic compensation of being able to help people achieve their dreams and to be respected for it and be considered a part of the family was, in my view, was the psychic compensation that I didn't have in my other career.
You know, as I've been on now, probably my seventh or eighth legend that I've chatted with, and it goes back, I see the same patterns over and over again, and every one of them I can say without exception says it's really about, you know, doing the right thing, being helpful, being outwardly focused, and all the other pieces will come through. And if I put myself first in the equation, the solution doesn't come out right.
You know, I don't want to appear like a Boy Scout, but the other thing is that I was not willing to sacrifice my personal life for the career. In other words, I didn't want to be mm-hmm. so consumed, so become so inconsiderate, become so unaware of my spouse, of our two daughters, that while I may have had a successful career, I had a disaster on the home front. I didn't
right.
want that. It seemed to me that I wanted to be able to achieve my objectives without the cost of losing my family. And that was just something that was very, very important to me.
Well, that's the other thing that I find in our financial planning practice, and sort of what sent me on my mission to really redefine wealth and try to put it in these different terms, is that as clients would come in, what I found out that it wasn't really, you know, the important thing to them was not how do I make more money. The number one thing I found out as clients got older, the phrase they would say, I said, well, what is it that you really like to see? And I hear over and over again, what I'd really like is for my kids to get along later in life. You know, I don't want them fighting over, you know, our assets. I don't want them to be bickering. And they said, if you can help us do that, now you've really been a significant advisor. And I started to take that to heart, and I realized that what we were doing in our practice and how we were able to structure their finances is that there were a lot of pressure points in life, in marriage. I mean, spouses fight over money, right? And, you know, kids can get screwed up either with, you know, too much money. And so what I started to realize is that we had a tremendous impact on the family.
Absolutely.
And that if this is what they were really asking for, is how can we help the next generation, you know, not be consumed, or how do we help them, you know, keep our values, which were not just the money, not just the valuables, you know. I said, well, what can we do? And then I said, okay, let's think about what you just said. You know, how is it that we are not going to spend, you know, 8.5 days a week just trying to develop our career? And that's what I used to say, you know, here. I said, if we can't get it done in 5 days, that's probably not worth getting done.
What I always didn't understand is that I thought the accumulation of the assets were the difficult part. But I think once one has sufficient assets, I think an even more difficult exercise is the distribution of those assets, because there are intertwining family interests. One child may have a particular asset, a particular interest in something, another not. The worst thing in the world is to take your son-in-laws and give the impression that you don't have confidence in them, and you begin to interfere with their sense of self and their sense of independence. Distributing assets among the family is a very tough issue, and I think if that's what you're spending a lot of your time on with your clients, you're very well positioned, because I think that can be very tough.
Well, the other thing we did is, in developing sort of our three-dimensional wealth, you know, model, is then create curriculum, Tom, for the professional advisors. Because what I found is I spent more time counseling people and managing people and personalities than I did managing money.
Yep.
And so we then developed with a professor, counselor, family systems therapist curriculum, which identified 7 of these transition points, stress points, whether that be, you know, death, dying, and bereavement is one of our courses, career building, as you just talked about, how much time do you spend, and what's the pressure? You're spending too much time at work, and so we have all those put together, and they're now available online and on demand for professional advisors in order to help them become better practitioners. It has nothing to do with understanding charitable trusts or, you know, credit shelter trusts or insurance contracts or any of that. We're already assuming that the advisors that we're talking with or helping have gotten the basics of one-dimensional planning down, financial planning, but I want to go beyond that.
Well, it's the human side, Roy.
Exactly.
That's exactly what you're saying. It's all about people.
Yeah.
It's not really about all the technical stuff. And it means you've got to listen. You've got to really dig so you can really understand what the emotional aspects of the family are, where the soft spots are. But, frankly, I believe people who have means really need this kind of human counseling. Mm-hmm. As part of the distributional issue.
Now, you began, I think, approximately 45 years ago, something like that, in the business. When we come back, I hear some music coming, and when we come back, I want to ask you about some of the changes that you've seen, and whether they've been positive or negative, and what we need to be doing going forward in order to adapt to those changes.
I look forward to it.
Okay.
Very good.
Well, stay tuned. We're going to be back. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back with more three-dimensional wealth. Thank you.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with Tom Wheeler, and we're discussing what it is that makes Tom a legend. And, Tom, I know that at one point you were the chairman of Mass Mutual. Right. It was like a Fortune 500 company. It must still be. Yes. Had over $200 billion in assets under management. So, I mean, it was a big deal, but it wasn't always like that when you started 45 years ago. And just before the break, what I wanted to ask you about is the changes that you've seen, even though there's been new products and, you know, array of everything else in terms of what we do, has there really been that much change, or is it the same, or what's your perspective?
It seems to me that the fundamental, remember, I was more of an insurance advisor, more in the insurance business than I was in the investment business. This is as a practitioner. When I was at the home office, we did, in fact, branch out. Worked out very well. But from the insurance side, I think there has been little change in the sense that you're the agents, the advisor's role, in my view, is to make the dreams of their clients and customers come true. That's what you're there for. You want to fulfill the goals and the dreams, irrespective of what life may hold for them in terms of disability, death, whatever. So I think that goal would still hold. I think the traits, the attributes of a successful advisor, and I've covered those earlier, are the same that were existed earlier. It's a business of trust. I think what's changed are the tools that advisors have today and the products. The products are enormously more fluid. They involve investments as well as insurance. Multiple types of insurance policies, multiple applications for insurance policies, more sophisticated needs, perhaps, and as well as solutions. So in that sense, I think there's been a tremendous change. I also feel, and to a certain extent that existed when I was active, I also feel there is a tendency of some advisors to cross over the line to try to stretch what the Congress initially wanted and had in mind for the purpose of the products and for their tax attractiveness. I think that the industry or in some advisors are pushing the envelope a little bit, and I worry that in doing so, the advantages of the product may be diminished because people feel that they're not properly being applied. So I would say, in summary, it's been an explosion of products, very creative solutions, very creative planning, a lot of automation, new tools to be able to analyze a person's situation, to keep them up to date. The core role of the advisor, in my view, has not changed. Integrity and trust are there, and I think we've got to be very careful that we don't overstep the bounds of what Congress had intended in using these various products.
My goal was never to make one of my clients famous in tax court.
Right, exactly.
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do, Tom, is take the extension. Of course, I go back now. I said it's going to be 37 years next week that I'll have been in the business and developed. And so in the early years, again, I was in the life insurance as a practitioner and then transitioned. And in 1981, began doing fee-based financial planning. And it was interesting is that when I began doing fee-based financial planning, my insurance sales went up, even though I stopped selling insurance,
yep,
per se.
Yep.
And now it's been another 25 years later, and my goal is to transition to what I call a total wealth manager. And by total wealth, then it's, again, looking at someone's personal wealth, who they are, and their social wealth, how they make a difference, along with their financial wealth. And if I can get people to understand that by giving assets away, financial assets away, they may, in fact, increase their total wealth.
Absolutely. I think that's another area, Roy, that has blossomed over the years, and that is the advisor's role in guiding his or her client in the role of philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been an explosion of financial assets, and therefore the abundance of them has given individuals and families opportunities to think beyond just the core needs and think of giving back to institutions or causes in which they have a passion and fund those. And I think from that activity, one receives enormous satisfaction and pride. So I think I believe you're active in that area, and I think that's exactly where you should be. Particularly, that's one of the areas that has, in my view, exploded, and where once again, your clients and customers need advice, because the sense of satisfaction in giving money to causes about which you really care, I just think is enormous. And it's one of the great, in many respects, it's a prize that you receive for having worked hard to accumulate the assets, and now you have the sensation that perhaps you never thought you'd have prior to dealing with these philanthropic questions.
I know you've been very active in that respect, because I'm just looking down at some of the things. I mean, you've been a director of Bank Boston. I know you've been a director of Estate Works. You're also, I think, currently a director of Textron and Genworth.
Right.
In addition, I know you're a trustee of the Conservancy of Southwest Florida, and you've been the chairman of the board of Springfield College. One interesting one, I thought, was the you were a trustee, I don't know if you're still active, of the Basketball Hall of Fame. And then finally, I know that you're very active. I think you're the chairman of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution.
Right. I'm chairman of the corporation. There's a chairman of the board of trustees, and I'm chairman of the corporation.
Okay.
And Woods Hole, in my view, is probably the finest oceanographic institution in the world. We live on the water here in Naples, Florida, in the winter, and we live on Cape Cod on the water in the summer. And I have a passion for the oceans. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. For individuals that have a passion about a cause or an institution, to be able to see those institutions or passions flourish and grow and prosper by virtue of your role in funding them is a very, very, it's an enormous sense of pride and satisfaction. And that's what I did at Woods Hole. We gave a fairly large gift to them. And it was an area that was important to me, that rather than to try to motivate scientists and to do research for research sake, let's set up a reward system so scientists will do the kinds of research that will ultimately help humankind. And our gift enables scientists to receive funding for research that they do that can be translated into really helping human beings, not just helping the laboratory.
And see, that's the kind of thing is, you know, in our book, Three Dimensional Wealth, one of the things we talked about is how do you prioritize and make sure that your giving matches your values, your personal values.
Exactly.
And so rather than just giving for giving's sake, or giving so that the research is being provided for. What I hear you saying is that, no, you've got a value system that says we want to make a difference, and we'll give and match it and link the two and synchronize them, so that way the research that is done is really going to be meaningful.
Right. So some human being somewhere hopefully will benefit by virtue of a scientist being motivated to, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to really work hard to solve this problem because I think it'll help human beings. And Wheeler's gift is the one that's driving me to do it. That's what I really hope. Not for my sake,
yeah,
but for mankind's sake. It sounds awfully highfalutin, but I don't mean it to be that way. I think this is about having a passion and seeing it fulfilled.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've been out to a number of meetings, financial planning meetings, and they'll talk about philanthropy. And sometimes I think they get the cart before the horse. I mean, they're talking about the tax savings, what the benefit to you that you will receive, and here's the tax ramifications. And, you know, if the fact pattern lines up correctly and the stars are in line, in fact, it won't even cost you anything. And those kind of things, I'm going, I think they have this all mixed up.
Well, I think you're right. I'm a person who really cares about paying no more than what I need to pay in terms of taxes. But when it comes to philanthropy, when it comes to fulfilling the vision that I have for things about which I have passion, it's amazing. I never think of what it might do to my bottom line. It just doesn't come to mind. I'm not saying it's not important, but if you really have enthusiasm and you're committed to it, it's not the driving force.
All right, now, you made a large gift. I heard you say that. How'd your family feel about it? I mentioned you have a couple of girls. I mean, were they like, what's the old man doing? You know, he's giving our money away.
No, I think that they, of course, grew up on the Cape in the summertime. So they were by the water. They had summer jobs, and we were living in Boston at the time and then later out in western Massachusetts. So my wife, Robin, and the two girls would go to the Cape in the summer, and I'd come down weekends and take a vacation. And they got to know the ocean, and they feel the same way. And so besides, they said, Dad, these are your funds, and we think you should feel free to do anything you want with them, and we frankly endorse what you're doing. But even if we didn't, we think you should do what you want to do. See, that's distribution to an outside entity. Where I think the family really gets involved, and we talked about this early, is the distribution within the family. That has to be really carefully considered, because you can get egos upset, you can get inter family squabbles. It can really tear a family apart. And isn't that a shame, to spend a lifetime building an estate, and then when it comes time to distributing it, all that you've created goes down the drain because it wasn't done intelligently? That's where you and your colleagues, Roy, I think, can do a tremendous service.
Well, I was going to tell you a story about a $60 million family with three children. They each got $20 million. You'd think that would have been enough.
Yeah.
Almost killing each other, all of them, suing each other,
right.
Because what they were left with just, finances, and they didn't have the values to wrap around these valuables. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. But stay tuned for more of Three Dimensional Wealth. We'll be right back.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Rory Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Tom Wheeler, and Tom is a three-dimensional wealthy individual. And we've been talking about some of the things that he's done with his social wealth. And just before break, though, I was mentioning a family that we dealt with for many, many years. And the family had, the father had left $60 million, $20 million to his three children. And when it was done, they were suing each other and all kinds of nightmares. And I looked back and I thought, you know what? Here all they've gotten were financial resources, but they had nothing in terms of values in order to wrap around it and put it in a context that would be meaningful for them as individuals. And it was just who had more, or, you know, whose personality was stronger, or who mom liked better. And I think going back to what we're trying to accomplish now is to look at the individual and say, wait a second, put your financial wealth to the side. We'll address that. But let's talk about, you know, your values. Let's talk about the family mission statement. What is it that your family, you know, is about? And that's, Tom, what we've been trying to do. And I did send you down, I think, a copy of the family manuscript, which we did. And this, the one I sent you, was my mom and dad's.
Right.
And it's about, you know, how do you pass on those values to whomever, whether it's our family, and that was really put together for our family. Obviously, we sent you a copy. But, you know, how can you make a difference to those within, you know, the family organization and say, well, this is what it's about. And so my mom and dad and that would tell a story or say, you know, here's a life lesson we'd like you to, you know, think about. And then they'd tell a story in their lifetime. And so for us as family members, I think we are far wealthier as a family by having taken financial resources of ours, and it took some money to do this project in terms of, you know, layout and design and writers and editors and graphics and printing and all of those things that we were accomplished. In fact, we actually have, Tom, a DVD, which is 6.5 minutes of the essence of mom and dad, right? And in its power pack, and it is spectacular.
Also, think of what this does in terms of the legacy of the whole family. Your generation, your children's generation, I mean, this is something that will last beyond just the current lives of the principals. And just think what you're doing in terms of trying to influence in a positive way the thinking of other members of the family, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So it's pretty important stuff.
Well, and that's what I say. It goes back to, you know, when the clients would walk in my office, I said, well, what is it that you'd really like to see? They said, I'd like to see my children get along. I'd like to see them, you know, grow up in a healthy environment, and here are some of the values that I'd like to, you know, to have them, you know, perpetuate. Well, if it is important, I mean, you know, if we think assets are important, we insure them. You know, we do all kinds of things to protect them. And yet, if our values have any meaning, which they do, the intangible wealth, then why can't we be as strategic and purposeful to protect and preserve those values? And so that's what we started to launch out on. And so when I in my lifetime, I said, my goal is to bring 60 families through and help them articulate and put together sort of my three-dimensional wealth approach. And then I thought, well, if it's only 60, you know, that's not a very big impact. Well, what if I were to help the next advisor understand and redefine wealth in these terms? And well, what if he did 60? And what if the next guy did 60? And so, you know, we're really talking about 22nd century stuff right now, because I won't live long enough to see the results of what's going to happen. But I thought, you know, can one person or a few people make a difference? And that's sort of the passion and the mission that we're on. And I'm convinced that we will be the most significant advisor of any of the professional advisors on our client's team by looking at their total wealth, Tom. And that's the fun part.
I guess what you're really saying, and I agree with you, is that money in and of itself can be insidious and can lead to a lot of bad things, absent this whole matter of positioning of value. It has to be surrounded with standards, with an understanding, with warmth. It ties into all what makes a family go. And yet, I think a lot of people just think, give me the money, and I'll be fine. Well, it doesn't really work that way. If it works that way, you're missing out on an enormous amount of satisfaction that can come if you spend a little more time thinking about the dimension of it.
I think that, you know, even in business, how many businesses would have been better run had they had this kind of values at the top, or integrity, or character, or ethics, as opposed to, you know, how do I build my stock option or my exit strategy and walk off with, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
I think that emphasis is, can get you really skewed, and yet that's the message that is coming to us from so many different places. And what I've found and what we've been trying to encourage in sort of our book and the paradigms is, I know that when I went through the financial planning programs and all my designations for financial planning, what they said is, well, most people will spend and then they'll try and save what's left over. And of course, there's nothing left over at the end of the month, and so they say, no, in order for you to be financially successful, what you need to do is you need to save first and then spend what's left over. And if you pay yourself first, you'll be financially successful. And then I said, wait a second, I think we should take it to another level and say, well, let's give first, and then we'll save, and then we'll spend what's left over. And, of course, that's the radical part of it. You say, well, wait a minute, is that really going to work? And yet, I believe that principle will help people not just have a life of financial success, but will give them a life of significance. And now we've got that whole three-dimensional piece working. See, that's the fun part.
I think the ancillary value of this is that when you have those discussions among family members, you just may uncover attitudes and issues concerns that would not have surfaced absent this kind of exercise, and how fortunate one would be to be able to detect those and discuss them and work through them rather than just leave them buried beneath the surface and they'll never rise to be dealt with again. So I think there's some other values in taking this kind of course that may not immediately be apparent at the surface.
One of the things that I go back to when we first started, you said, I have two girls, and one of the things I wanted to do was to make sure that my career didn't dwarf my family life and that I would put my wife and my children first. And it's interesting because, you know, I have my daughter, one of her boyfriends, has started off in a, you know, investment banking career. And, I mean, it's a great situation. But I'll tell you, what they're saying to him, because of the way they incent his behavior, they're saying, you know, 100 hours a week is a good thing, and we're going to compensate you for that. And I'm going, 100 hours a week over and over and over again is not a good thing, because you'll have no time with your wife, you'll have very little time for your family, and there'll be a price tag to pay somewhere down the line, and yet that's the values proposition that they're encouraging kids coming out of college. And I'm going, well, wait a second. So that's kind of why I said I'm going to do my own thing and set up my own broker-dealer and make it my own vision and my own values. And you know, if we can't do it, hopefully, in 5 days, well, then not worth doing.
See, that's the advantage of being in business for yourself, which is the great attraction of the career, the mm-hmm. advisor's career. You're an entrepreneur. You're working for yourself. You can decide at every step of the way how you're going to proceed. And the value of having that kind of control over your career is just unmistakable, in my opinion. It's so worthwhile. And it generates so much satisfaction for all members of the family. So that's the difference between being an entrepreneur and working for a large company, where they're dictating the terms of the engagement rather than you.
Well, I believe that to be true. In fact, today is the first day of my son-in-law joining us. And
the same one who was with the investment banking firm?
No, that's just the boyfriend yet. No, but
the son-in-law is going to. Well, good for you.
Yeah,
that's great.
No, we're very excited, and it's the same kind of things that, you know, when my dad started. I mean, here's a guy who's got principles, ethics, going to put people before, you know, himself, and all the right motives. And I say that's the key to success. And then I found that over and over, week after week, as I talk with fellas that have been 30, 40, 50 years in the business, and what is it that brings them to the top? All of them have the same kind of characteristics. And so you wonder why we call them legends. It's because they're all have that as the core that's driving them and making them men of influence, men of significance.
Yeah. Well, Roy, my wife would like to have equal time, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
No, I'm only teasing you.
She's the one that's driving you. I know that.
Actually, speaking of spouses, I happen to feel that a spouse makes an enormous difference in a career. Maybe we can get to that before we sign off.
Makes all the difference. Yeah. Well, we'll come back and talk about that, Tom. And stay tuned. We'll be back with our last section of three-dimensional wealth, so hang on.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson talks about the nuts and bolts of starting, running, and expanding a business. From time management, leadership, sales, marketing, and customer service, to office management, using technology, business plans, accounting, taxes, and networking. Danielle and her expert guests share their years of experience on a variety of topics. Tune in every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel for Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson. Useful tips, authoritative advice, creative solutions, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Become a better leader. Build a great career. Learn how to successfully own and run a business. It's time for Common Sense Advice with the Common Sense Guy, hosted by Bud Belanich. With wit and an irreverent attitude towards business, life, and the business of life, Bud, the Common Sense Guy Belanich, and his interesting, accomplished guests feature common sense advice on leading people, building your career, and starting and running your own business. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for The Common Sense Guy with Bud Belanich, and walk away with common sense ideas to use right away. The Common Sense Guy, leadership, career enhancement, entrepreneurship, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with Tom Wheeler, and we're discussing what it means to be a three-dimensional wealthy individual. And just before the break, you said, I want to talk about my wife, Robin, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have anything. I'm paraphrasing, but am I pretty close?
You're pretty close. I'd say you're very close. I think when I was a general agent, and a general agent recruits advisors, insurance agents, and others, I made it a practice of interviewing the spouse, because if the spouse does not completely buy into the career, then the individual, whether it be a male spouse or a female spouse, that individual will never really achieve the kind of success that they both want. And so that's on the negative side. But on the positive side, one does absorb him or herself into the career when you start. You have to spend the time, as we had said, you have to make the commitment. You have to really have a focused approach to the business, otherwise you won't really make much of a dent. And therefore, if you have a family, if you have children, the spouse must be able to deal with a lot of the issues at home, taking the children to school, the furnace breaks down. The spouse has to have the proper attitude that she is, again, I'm thinking of a female spouse, she is a teammate, she's on the team, that she, her role is very much a part of the total success of the marriage and of the professional and the spouse. And therefore, that person becomes, I think, essential to the kind of, achieving the kind of success that the advisor would want. And then if you're in a home office situation, a corporate situation that I was, I went from an agent to a CEO of a large corporation, an insurance company, the spouse becomes invaluable because you go to meetings and so forth, where conferences where spouses are there, and let's assume there may be an advisor who isn't thinking very positively about the company or me, but his or her spouse gets to meet Robin, and they talk about things, and all of a sudden they have a different view of the career, a different view of the company, perhaps a different view of me. Therefore, I view a spouse as an important part of the team, and it is a teamwork. Mm. And when I see, and Rolly, I don't know your spouse, but you're a very successful person, but my guess is that you would agree that your spouse had an awful lot to do with where you are today.
Oh, there's no question. And that principle, now I've been, this will be my 32nd year, I'll be married 32 years, but if I go back and look at all the legends that I've chatted with, every one of them, I think, has been married 35, 45 years. I mean, it's on and on. One spouse, they were in this thing together, and just wonderful stories. And I think it goes down, and their families have benefited from the teamwork that they've seen in their parents.
And the other thing that we would do is that when we were trying to recruit an agent or recruit an executive, I indicated I'd like to meet the spouse, and Robin would come with me. We'd go out for dinner, and I would say to her, oh, I've got the best person. You'll be blown away by him. He's just fabulous. And then we'd have dinner, and at the end of the dinner, she'd say, you know, I hate to tell you this, but did you notice A, B, C, D? And I said, jeepers, I really did. I think spouses are more able to cut through what maybe the male will sense as persuasiveness. They'll cut to the core. They just have a sixth sense about people. that maybe I didn't have, and she was particularly good at sorting out the prizes from the ne'er-do-wells, more so than I was.
What would you tell an advisor that's coming along, another rookie, the new guy that's coming in, a bit of advice from the heady veteran? What would you say?
I think how this whole conversation with you started, that number one, you have to have a passion for what you're doing. You have to be a person of integrity and high ethics and character. That this is a character sale. This is about people and about trust. That's what it's all about. And trust is, in my view, is 90%. I've always felt business was all about people and money, and people are 90% of it. So people, trust, integrity, ethics. I think you have to be disciplined. I think you have to, this is a profession, and therefore you have to work at it. You have to learn and study and become competent. This is serious business because people depend on it. You can't dabble in it. It may take a burst of energy and time at the outset, but you will be compensated for that later on. And you're learning new skills. Take the advice of people who've been through it before. So many want to take it another route, and that's just a waste of time. And don't spend before it's in the bank. A lot of people feel that the Cadillac car or now the Mercedes or BMW will be the difference if you drive up to a client's house or something. I always took the role that I wanted to earn it first and then spend it, and spend it on things that were important. Oh, I know another thing, Roy. Eat at your own restaurant. The successful advisors that I have seen are those who invest in their careers. Instead of buying the Mercedes-Benz, they'll buy a computer. They'll buy somebody who can advise them in a certain way. They'll have maybe two staff rather than one person on staff. So invest in your business. And there's no better place to invest. You cannot get a buyer's stock outside of your business that will perform better than if you invest in your own business. And so I've been disappointed that a lot of people don't do that. But the ones that do, and I'm sure you do, you have done that, Roy, and mm-hmm. others have, the rewards are enormous.
Now, the heady of the veteran. I've seen some guys that have been now in the business 30 years, and they're burned out. And yet to me, their best years or their best days should be ahead. What do you tell a guy who's burned out?
I guess I would evaluate that is that there's an imbalance in his life, that either he is focused too much on the business and therefore it's been a draining experience and therefore hasn't balanced his life with time with family, time with recreation, get away from it a little bit. Nobody can perform as 24/7. And I'm assuming that when you say burned out, I don't know whether it's just overindulgence, overwork, or whether it's a frustration he's not able to meet the expectations that he or she has for themselves. I think I'd have to find out what it is.
I think it's maybe some of the excitement's gone, you know, in the business for them.
All right. Then I think they've got, you were telling me earlier about sending somebody a CD about a particular subject. I'd get somebody, maybe they should see a professional. Maybe they should start reading positive things. Maybe they should be aware of how fortunate they are and the opportunities. They've gone through all the difficult times of the career. Now they've got an opportunity to really, this should be the time of the highest expectation and the highest satisfaction. So
right.
Maybe a professional's needed here, but also maybe they just need to go away with each other, the family, and replan, reignite the sparks. It's hard to tell, but you're right. The bottom line is this should not be a time when they're less effective. This is a time when they enjoy the fruits of all the investment and labors they've put into the career prior to this time. And it's a shame and sad if they feel otherwise.
Well, I hope my best days are ahead. That's the way I feel. That's what gets me up in the morning.
Yeah. I do too, and I'm a little older than you, a lot older.
Yeah. Well, if you had to do it over again, would you do anything differently?
I don't think I really would. I'm not one that looks back. You know, if we all look back, we could probably cry. I've always felt that the future is what this business and my life was about. and therefore I don't think I change very much, but I am very grateful for what has happened to me. I'm very fortunate. I don't let a day go by without expressing that gratitude, and therefore I always think positively about what's ahead. Wonderful. Tom, I'm glad to have you with us and share with us. And I have a quote that reminds me of the legends here, and it goes like this. Societies grow great when old men plant trees whose shade they will not sit under.
That's very well
said. I know that you have planted many trees, and it's going to produce a lot of shade, and we really appreciate all you've done. And thank you again for joining.
You're welcome, Roy. Nice being with you today.
Okay, and I hope you enjoyed our...
Best wishes to you and your family.
Thank you.
And your mother and dad.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today.
Very much.
And I invite you to tune in next week at the same time for more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.